Hello, welcome back to a new episode of For the Love of Weather. This is the podcast where we explore the Earth's atmosphere and how we are all connected through the weather and climate. We are your hosts, Gemma and Aisling. We're both meteorologists and weather presenters and have been working in weather now for over 15 years. We are so happy to have you here on the podcast with us on this episode. And as always, we hope that you leave this episode loving the weather just a little bit more and learn a little something about how the weather and climate can impact our daily lives. Hi, I'm Gemma.
Hi, and I'm Aisling, and I am so thrilled and delighted to introduce our guest tonight. It's Zoe Johnson, amazing female scientist who's also a journalist as well. So you were a weather forecaster with WeatherQuest for a number of years. We've actually had Chris Bell on talking about storms, which is really exciting in our small little weather world where we all know each other. But you then decided to go on and study a master's in broadcast journalism. So you're quite unique in that you're a journalist, but you're also a meteorologist as well. That was at the University of East Anglia. And you are now working as a production journalist at ITV News Anglia. But ahead of COP26, you were on the BBC Look East team as the young climate change reporter, trying to highlight how climate change is affecting farmers across East Anglia. You also have experience presenting the weather as part of the WeatherQuest farming forecasting team as well. But I think the most exciting thing that I really want to talk about is that you're now a published author, which is really exciting. And I have on my hand here, which you won't be able to see if you're listening, but it's the Weather Almanac and it's the guide for 2025. And all started off by Storm Dunlop. And anyone who's into the weather will know this book and it'll probably be sitting on somebody's coffee table or you've seen it in a pub or seen it in a bar and you've seen it somewhere. And you're now the published author on it, which is just so exciting. So after that massive introduction, Zoe, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It feels amazing to be on here.
Well, we are very thrilled to have you. So before we dive into all of the climate stuff and all of the writing stuff, where did your first little spark of joy come from that you thought, oh man, I think I just would like to do something with the weather?
It's so wild because I think a lot of people have that moment where they're like, yeah, that was the moment. But for me, I can't even remember what started it all. I think it was probably back in sixth form where I made the conscious decision, like, this is what I want to do with my life and I'm going to start doing the right things to chase that. But I don't ever remember what started that. I think maybe it probably came from, I'm very outdoorsy, had a very outdoorsy childhood, and I've just always loved being in the weather. Even like the moment I had a phone, I had the Met Office app on it and I was checking the forecast all the time. Before I had like games on my phone, I was the kid that was checking the Met Office app for like the signs of snow in the forecast. So maybe there was like early signs of it, but I honestly don't remember when I thought, like, what even triggered that career path that I'm now down a very long winding road of.
I know, well, lots of like careers, don't they? They kind of evolve. And I always say that to people as well when I do school visits and they think, oh, you know, when did you know what you want to do? And I always, it's just about having that interest. It's something that makes you curious. So you might be like, some people are really clear and they're like, I want to be a weather presenter, or I want to be a journalist, or I want to be a climate scientist, or I want to do this, I want to have a PhD. But yeah, just an interest where you suddenly find yourself, this topic kind of consumes you a little bit. And it's really nice, actually. It's quite an organic way to, you know, go into a subject. But you sort of went from meteorology and then went to wanted to become a journalist. So what was that about? What was that journey about?
Yeah, I mean, meteorology will always be my first love. And you know, the thing that brings me so much joy. I loved my undergraduate degree. I had so much fun. You know, I really loved the weather and loved being an operational meteorologist for 3 years that I spent at WeatherQuest. I mean, you know, despite the crazy shifts that we sometimes have to work, you know, it was still a really fulfilling career. And I think what was so fun about WeatherQuest is that they do forecasting for loads of different people. Like, you're doing like wind farms, farmers, all sorts of different things. So it was really fun for me. But I've known for quite a long time, probably since sixth form, that one day I wanted to present the weather. And that's always been the kind of eventual goal I'm still working towards to this day. But I decided, you know, I wasn't really getting anywhere. And I was like, you know what would be fun and would add another, like, I don't know, is the phrase string to my bow? I thought, you know what, I'll go and try out a broadcast journalism degree, see what that's like. Feels like one of those sort of like decisions where your life, like sliding doors moments where your life could go one of two ways. And I'm so glad I did it because it was so much fun. And learning about journalism was like just incredible. I discovered so many things that I loved that I never th I discovered that I love law. And I just thought that was weird because I never expected to be that kind of person, but I absolutely loved it. And I think going back to uni after like having been out of education for a few years made me appreciate it so much. And it gave me so much more confidence. And, you know, I got to practice broadcasting skills, learn like more about how to write well, write for television, but also probably helped me write the book. So yeah, the degree was amazing. And I was like, well, I better try and get a job in this industry. That's how I ended up at ITV Anglia, where I am now still as a production journalist.
Has your master's made you look at the weather and climate in a different way? Do you approach it differently now?
Definitely. Beforehand, I would think like a meteorologist, and you know, everything was very complicated. The people that I was talking to, like down the phone, were farmers and, you know, wind farm coordinators who knew the weather. And you could like talk in all that jargon and they would totally understand it, and that would all be absolutely fine for them. But when I was at university doing my master's degree, my lecturers would be like, whoa, too complicated. Calm that down. And I learned, yeah, I'm still learning how to kind of simplify these like complex scientific topics. And I think that's what helped me write the book as well, because the book is aimed at, you know, anyone who loves the weather. You don't need to know loads about it. So it needs to be a place that's really accessible for everybody. And I, without the degree, I don't think I could have done it. So yeah, it's crazy how it's all kind of linked together.
So it's quite a leap to go from broadcast journalism, and then you're not actually directly working weather, and then you're writing a weather book. So do you want to tell us about that journey? How do you, and also such a famous weather book, how do you, tell us a little bit about that journey and also about the history of the book as well.
Yeah, so I've been a journalist for I think over a year now, which is it's been so interesting, and it's like the weather in so many ways. It's ridiculous. I thought leaving my life as an operational meteorologist, I was like, oh, goodbye to unsociable hours. That would be great. I won't have to work shifts again. And boy, I was so wrong. I'm actually working even more unsociable hours than I was before. And yeah, it's been really interesting, like being a journalist, and you know, it's really important. It changes every day. That's the other similarity. It's like the weather, you know, you come in and your shift is going to be completely different with the weather. That depends on, like, you know, the current pattern that we're in with the news. It depends on a load of completely different things, but it is like fun to have that variability. So it is weird how the two jobs are actually fairly similar in a sense. But yeah, I've been working as a production journalist. I had like a short-term contract, and because I think, you know, in these kind of jobs, they're often not for too long, and you end up at the end of a contract and there's no space on the team. That's just the nature of news. So it was last Christmas, and I now I want to break into song. But it was last Christmas, and I found myself with nothing to do. And I had a really lovely time, you know, to have a break was lovely. But it got into January and I was feeling a little bit lost. I didn't know what was going to happen next. And all of a sudden, I got this message on LinkedIn from someone at HarperCollins saying, would you like to write a book for us? And I was like, this has got to be fake, surely. This can't be real. And I was like, okay, yeah, let's have a meeting. So I met up with this guy. And he said, a friend I worked with at the Met Office probably 8 years ago, I can't remember the exact year. His name is Ryan French, but he's written a book called The Sun, A Guide to Our Local Star. Really cool book. And he found out that they were looking for somebody to carry on the weather almanac, and he recommended me. And I feel so lucky to be in that position. This week, when the book has come out, I've sat here wondering, how on earth did this happen to me? But it was such a lovely thing to happen, and I will never ever take it for granted, because I got to, like, I'd been out of weather for, I mean, you're never really out of weather, but I'd been not doing it for nearly 2 years, maybe. And then to suddenly be able to do the thing I loved again, it was just so much fun. I had the best time writing the book, like doing all the research for it was so fun. I learned so much. And yeah, that was back in sort of January, early February 2024. And then I went back to ITV and I worked as a journalist again, and time passed and life happened. And here we are. It feels like it's so much has happened since then, but the book has come out this week and it's been the craziest ride, honestly.
That's amazing. When you talk about the process that you just to get that message on LinkedIn and how it all changed with just that message. Like, how long did the process of writing the book take you? And like, how long were you writing the book for?
I think I was really focused, with the circumstances of writing the book. It's a joint sort of collaboration between me and Storm Dunlop, who's been writing them for years, done so many weather books, really big name on the weather scene. And unfortunately, he became ill, so they needed someone who could take over. But that was, the deadline was already looming, so I didn't have a huge amount of time. I'd say it probably took me about 2 weeks, but I was working on it the whole time, and I just treated it, I wasn't that long out of university. I just treated it like a deadline, and honestly, it was just so joyous to research all these cool things, find out all these things I never knew, and to be able to just, I mean, I love the weather, and in particular, I love the seasons. So to be able to write about the seasons, I would get all cozy and I'd be like, I'm gonna write about autumn. And that was something I just loved.
I love hearing the story because it's such a funny thing as you go on in your career and people ask you that question, how did happen? And you realize that actually that can be a complicated, simple thing all at the one time, how A leads to B and how you end up being the person that actually does something. And most of the time, like, yeah, it seems like chance or it's circumstance or whatever it is that happens, but the journey of getting to do something that you love can be pretty amazing and always surprising. And I always say that to people as well when, if they want to go on and do something, and I have to remind myself of it as well. You just keep going. You're so lucky, you know what you want to do. You are so lucky, you know what you love in this world. So lucky, I'm not bored of talking about all of these things. And if there is something I want to do, I just need to keep on going because it's going to happen. I don't know how, don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know which way it's going to surprise me, but it's going to happen. And it's such a lovely story.
Yeah, I think it's one of like the magic things of life that if you'd have told me this time last year what would be happening, I would never have believed you in a million years. And that kind of excitement of thinking, well, what could it be this time next year that I'm doing? And you do remind me of this a lot, Aisling, with your sort of, you have a lovely outlook on life. And it helps to sort of remind me, oh yeah, this is really cool, and you never know what your life is going to take.
So true. Listen, let's talk a little bit about the book. Tell me, so there's so many things that jumped out at me in this book, but talk to me a little bit about your favorite chapter.
I have so many parts of this book that I absolutely loved. A lot of it, I took over maybe a quarter of the way through. So some of like the introduction is written by Storm, but in each chapter, there's like an introduction to that month, what kind of weather you can expect. And then there's like a little topic section, which can be literally anything, but it has some link back to that month that you're in. So it might be a person that was born in that month or a historic weather event that happened in that month. And there were some topics that had already been decided, you know, that the guys at HarperCollins really wanted to do. But I was also given the freedom to pick some of my own. And I became obsessed with one thing in particular, which was the last Frost Fair in London, which was the last time the Thames completely froze over. And just it captivated me. I thought it was the most incredible thing. I just loved it so much. And I was like, well, I've got to write about this. There's so many incredible historical records of this event. And you know what? If I could travel back to any time for like a specific weather event, it would be that. And I would have the best time ever on the frozen Thames. They had like stalls set up. They were selling like drinks and food. They set up, I think this was like for bragging rights, but they set up printing presses on the frozen Thames to like print things, and people could take them away and be like, I was there. And the wildest thing is at the last Frost Fair, they had an there's eyewitness accounts of an actual elephant walking across the ice, and that just completely like took my breath away. I thought, how cool is that? That is amazing. And you know, unfortunately it doesn't happen anymore. There's a lot of things that have contributed it to it not happening anymore. Obviously climate change is one of them, but also back in those days the Thames was a lot wider and shallower, and we've made it with like building the embankments, we've made it what's the opposite of wider? Less wide. And now the river flows more quickly and it doesn't freeze anymore. And I think, God, what would I give to skate on the frozen Thames? That would be amazing. So that's definitely one of my absolute favorite chapters.
You know, we actually share quite a lot in common there. I'm captivated by social history and, like, for example, Crystal Palace, you know, that whole building that was there and they had all the inventions in it, and obviously that caught fire and stuff. But I'm exactly the same as you. There's little moments where you think, could you imagine in like a dark city that doesn't have all the electrical stuff and all of this, like, you know, so much light to like come across this? It must have seemed, it's like would have been like coming across a cathedral, you know, like the grandeur of like St. Paul's before everything was like built up around it. But yeah, I can totally imagine why that captivates you. I just think in terms of social history, it would have, for anyone who saw that, it would have been the most mesmerizing thing they've ever seen in their entire life. They may never even seen an elephant nor known what it was.
It's amazing. And I never liked history at school. Like, I wasn't bothered by it. I've never been bothered by it until I started writing this book. And I was like, well, it turns out I like weather history. This is cool. Like, reading about these things, that is something that interests me. And it was like, I found this complete love of these. And the way these events are recorded are just, it's so, like, it's almost whimsical the way they're described and the detail in which they're described. And you can still, you know, you can go back 100 years and have these descriptions of these weather events that happened and what led to it. And I just think that's so cool. And like to talk about them and to remember them is to like honor the people that wrote this stuff down for people like us that love it. It's just, it was so cool.
Tell me a little bit about the chapter on Joanna Simpson.
Yeah, so there's a chapter, I think it's in the March section, because that is when Joanne Simpson was born. And she was the first woman in the US to get a PhD in meteorology. And she's such a cool lady. You know, she had an incredible life, but she also faced a lot of adversity to get to where she was in her career. A lot of sexism. You know, people told her that no woman ever got a PhD in meteorology, and no woman ever would. And she did. She went on to prove them wrong. She got her PhD. She discovered the most amazing things about clouds and how they drive global circulation. And you know, she picked clouds because that was something she loved and was really interested in. But she was only allowed to do clouds because, like, the professor said, oh yeah, no one's interested in clouds. That's a great thing for a girl to study. And you know, she faced so much. You know, her colleagues laughed at her. She struggled to get a job, but yet she's made so many incredible contributions to the world of meteorology. And I think, you know, we owe her a lot. for being one of those first like pioneering women to do something like this. And you hear about like all the sort of like big names in meteorology, like a lot of the men that contributed to stuff is like Robert Fitzroy. Like, I mean, and not to discount the amazing stuff he did as well, but everybody should know Joanne Simpson's name. And hopefully, if they read the book, they'll know a little bit, a bit more about this amazing woman.
You know, there was just some bits in the book. So what struck me actually was the pictures that are in the book are photographs. So photographs have been around a long time. There's a fantastic picture of possibly one of the first lightning strikes. It's an actual photograph in there. And when I look at that picture of Joanna Simpson, I'm like, how is this not obviously in living memory for us, but like, you know, not a million miles into the past, that's the way it was for women in science.
She looks iconic though, and I think, she must have had such a hard time, but she didn't let anybody tell her what to do, and she made so many contributions to the field, and she just seems like such a cool lady. She was fantastic.
I was doing a bit of research on her a few months ago, actually, because she's just an amazing woman. I mean, we are fascinated by women in STEM on this podcast, weather and climate. So anybody who works in that field, we are going to champion all the way. But yeah, she is a fascinating lady. I just also want to say the cover on the book is beautiful. It is so, so beautiful. When I saw it on the shelf, I was like, how can you not want to pick it up? It's so stunning.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I only held it for the first time the other day. It's almost like, because it happened, because I wrote it so long ago, I became quite detached from the process, and it was something so exciting that I was almost worried it would never come off. Something bad would happen towards the end, so I almost, I put it to one side in my head, didn't allow myself to get excited about it until it arrived this week on my lap, and I was like, oh my goodness, it's here, and I actually did this. And yeah, it is beautiful. Like, I think there's a shout out to be had. It's Julia Murray who did the cover, and it is beautiful. And it kind of ties into the sort of all the themes of the previous almanacs that Storm wrote as well. So they make a lovely set together. I've gone about collecting all the previous ones. So now I have a big stack of them.
Hello, Sammy, what is for the future? Are you going to write this again?
So I'm very lucky to say that next year I will be writing the Weather Almanac 2026, which is a very, it's incredibly exciting. Even just a few weeks ago, if you'd spoken to me, I'd have said, oh, I'm just really happy to have done this one. I don't expect to be asked to do another one. But here we are, and next year it will be solely written by me. I'll be able to pick whatever I like for the chapters, and talk about anything, obviously weather related. And it's just very exciting.
It was so exciting. I'm really excited about a woman sort of carrying the torch on this forward as well. And I think it really will give a different take on things. Yes, we're in 2024, but there's still a lot of work to be done.
Absolutely. And yeah, I feel very lucky to be given that opportunity to be able to shine the light on some of the amazing women in the past that have, paved the way for us. So hopefully that's something that I'll get to do a lot more of.
It's so exciting. It's so exciting. It's absolutely fantastic. And honestly, congratulations on the book. It's just lovely. It's beautiful. It's a lovely read. And if you know nothing about weather, I think there's a little bit of something for everyone in there, isn't there? Whether perhaps you don't like the weather, but there'll be something that you'll read on it. There's some of the social history in it, and even some of the tables of just the times of stuff. It's just interesting. Like when the sun rises in Belfast or when it sets somewhere else, it's just really interesting and a beautiful little book to have. And you must be so proud of it. So proud of it. I certainly am. It's absolutely fantastic.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so glad. I'm so glad you like it. And yeah, I just hope that other people do as well. And I think, I've been facing the terror over the last few days, realizing that people are actually going to read this. It's not all in my head now. It's out on paper. Only hope there's no typos.
Okay, so we're just going to move on to the get to know me round. Do, 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 do.
We do need a theme song. I have thought
We
about
know
getting a
we need
little
a little
theme song there.
jingle.
We'll
We
have to
need
have
to
a little
get back on
theme.
the purchase a jingle website
Yeah, we'll have
and
to
stick
find a
one in.
little jingle to put in there. So this is our get to know me round. Some of them are weather related, and then some of them are just like super random that I actually can't remember how we even come up with them in the first place. But the first question we always ask everyone is, what is your favorite season?
Be careful, Zoe.
I mean, I love them all so much. I think that's one of the things I've gained from writing the book is an appreciation for each season. I do have a favorite. We are currently in it, and it is autumn. I love autumn
No.
so much. Oh,
Gemma's thrilled.
it's
I
just
do like autumn.
beautiful. Yeah, it's a great season. I just love the transition. I love this period, early September, when you've still got the last like vestiges of summer, but things are starting to feel chilly. But it's such a beautiful time of year. And I was actually reading in another book that I've got recently. It's called Slow Seasons. And it's by I think Rosie Steer, and it talks about like how autumn is almost like, because it's sort of everyone goes back to school in the UK, it's like a almost like a mini New Year sort of feeling. You feel like reinvigorated and recharged, and I definitely feel that in autumn, and I think that's one of the reasons why it's my favorite season. But I love the leaves turning color. I love feeling cold again and digging out my coats. I love the weather that we've got this week. I love a northwesterly. Like I love it. Like that feeling of coldness in the air. Today's been a beautiful day with like blue skies, crazy showers, and sort of brisk winds. Autumn is great, but I love the other seasons for what they are. And something that Rosie talks about in her book is like trying to appreciate them all. And that's something that maybe I struggle with a bit. I'm always looking forward to the next season and like the next change. But like to slow down and actually appreciate each season for what it is something I'm really, really trying hard to do. And I think it helps you feel a bit more like present. I just love the seasons. I couldn't live somewhere that didn't have seasons. I would like to live somewhere where they had more seasons, like not more as in the number, but more as in like more extreme seasons. Like I would like proper snow at winter, and I would like maybe not warmer summers, because actually summer is too warm for me anyway, but you know what I mean.
You need to move to New Zealand.
I've
Maybe
always
that's where
thought,
you need to go.
yeah, I've always thought about that. New Zealand seems so beautiful. Also maybe like North America, like North America. But yeah.
Somewhere like Canada.
Canada.
Our next question is also weather related. What is your favorite cloud?
Okay, my favorite cloud is a lenticular cloud. I love going to Scotland. Probably almost every year since I was born, my parents have taken me to Scotland. We go to Braemar, which is, amazingly significant weather place. But I was doing my undergrad degree in meteorology, and I was up there on a family holiday, and I saw my first lenticular cloud that I knew what it was. Like that was the first time I'd been like, I've spotted this cloud, and this is so cool. And they were beautiful. I've never seen lenticular clouds as good as that time when I saw them all those years ago. And it's like such a sweet memory for me. That is my favorite type of cloud.
There's something about seeing like clouds that you don't see often in real life. Like I once saw a Kelvin Helmholtz cloud, and my friend said to me, she works in weather as well, and she was like, "Is," and I was like, and I did a happy dance. I was jigging around. I was like, "Oh my goodness, I've never seen one of these!" And everyone was looking at me like, "What is she doing? Why is she so excited to see a cloud?" But when you see it and you've never seen it before, I've never seen one in real life. You're like, "Oh." And you actually stop and you look. I mean, I'm always looking at the clouds anyway, but you actually appreciate it. And there's just something about seeing them in real life. And you're just like, wow, they are absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, you get like an actual kick out of it, and I just it's properly exciting. And then spending the next 5 minutes being like, take my picture with it, get me in the picture too, to prove I was there and I saw this cloud.
Oh, do you know what? Honestly, every day I constantly have my head cocked up into the sky, and I genuinely am like, I just there's something about clouds for me that they bring to life like the atmospheric science, like how the engine of this atmosphere is actually working. And when I look at them, I literally am staring, I'm staring at them, and I'm at a stage now in my life where people continually send me cloud pictures. Like they'll say to me, like I obviously talk about it that much. People will say, I saw this lovely cloud. Send me like the picture, no matter where they are in the world. And clouds are they're pretty beautiful, I think.
That is a great place to be at in life, where people send you cloud pictures. I love
Yeah.
that. I'm at
Yeah.
that point in life as well. I get loads of cloud pictures and I'm here for it. Send them away. I absolutely
Know,
love
me
them.
too.
Like,
I
even on
do.
my walk this evening, I was like, that cloud, oh my gosh, it's beautiful. It was lit up pink. You could see that it was spreading out at the top. And I was like, oh, it's so stunning. I didn't have a phone on me, so I couldn't take a
Do you
picture,
know,
but I was like,
I.
oh. Okay, this is where they go more random, the questions. So, would you prefer to go to the beach or the mountains?
Mountains for sure. I mean, I love the beach as well, but I feel so happy in the mountains. I just feel so free. So yeah, it's got to be mountains, but the beach is great too.
If you could have a superpower, what would it be?
I feel like I'd want to say like Elsa from Frozen, so you can just make it snow, you can make amazing ice sculptures. But then, like, if you've got that power, why not go for like the whole shebang and just be able to control the weather? But I don't know, is there something more special about it, just like just being able to make it snow all the time? I don't know. It's got to be that though. Like, and I think honestly, if I was controlling the weather, I would probably make it snow all the time. So maybe it's just simpler to be like, yes, I'd like to be Elsa from Frozen.
Maybe the superpower could be that you could keep anyone who wanted a snow flurry above their head, like Olaf. So you could do just individual flurries for people. So then you could still be with the people that love the sunshine, like on the beach. But you know, maybe that's it. Maybe
Yeah,
that's the extension of the power.
that would be magical. It's got to be that, hasn't it? It would be so much fun.
You could have snow and leaves whipping around you.
Yeah, but
I
I
would
wouldn't
be
want to be
in.
like Tia Pepper in Encanto, because her mood affects the weather. I feel like with me, that would be quite the roller coaster. You'd never be able to predict it. You'd never know what was going to happen. Like it would be a nightmare. So yeah, not that kind of power, please.
You were a fruit or vegetable, what would you be?
I would be a banana, because I'm a bit of a nana. It's a nice silly fruit, and yeah, I am just a bit of a nana sometimes.
I love bananas. Just putting it out there, banana
Me
is my
too.
favorite food. It's so versatile. You can take it anywhere with you, and there's so many different shapes of bananas and
At
sweetness.
what stage do you like your banana?
Well, I mean, this is a controversial question right there, Zoe. You know, it can divide friendships, the color of your banana, and who likes what, and whether you want to swap your banana, and like which banana do I pick up in the morning, and which one do I leave behind for the kids? It's a big thing, you know?
Oh,
But I like mine to be quite yellow. So very not overripe, but just enough that it might go start to become a little bit, the skin changes on it. So that you know it's getting too sweet. But I do really like a very ripe, sweet banana. There may be a little, I call them giraffe bananas. So they probably have like little speckles on them or something. So I like a giraffe banana. That's what I call them. What about you?
I have a very unpopular opinion. I like them so green, they're almost crunchy, but
Oh.
not like fully green,
Sorry, I
but
don't know if we're going to
definitely,
stay friends. I mean, I didn't
yeah,
know this.
that's it. No, I can't bear a banana that's gone too yellow. I'm so sorry, Ash.
Well, I know who to swap my banana with if I'm in the newsroom. How
I
about
like it
you,
in the
Gemma?
middle. I like it in the middle. I like it to be yellow. I don't really like it if it's starting to go a little bit brown. I probably like it when it's maybe just going from green to yellow. So I think mine's probably in the middle of both of you, but I prefer it just to be yellow. That's my ideal when it's just
The
like
perfect banana.
perfect ripe. Yeah.
Giraffe banana all the way, and then it's all the same ripeness the whole way through. I'm just saying, it wins out every time.
Well, I know who to send my giraffe bananas to now. I'll be sending them to you in the post. If you could invite one person to dinner, and it can be anybody at all from any historical time frame or even a fictional character, who would it be?
How could I possibly decide? There are so many. I feel like the obvious answer, I would just love to meet David Attenborough. He would be so cool. Like, I think just be like, I love what you've done for nature and the planet. But that's quite obvious answer. I mean, and we've talked about like amazing women on this podcast, so maybe that would be like a better decision. But like, also fictional. Doctor Who, 100%. That would
Which
be great.
one? Which one? Oh,
The Matt
which
Smith
one?
Doctor. I think he was my favourite. Although I love them all.
Well, it
He was
depends
a
what
good Doctor.
generation you were. You know, it's like James Bond as well. I think you have an affinity for the Doctor or the James that you grew up with, you know.
Yeah, and I grew up with Christopher Eccleston and David Tennant, but when we rewatched it, before like the new series came out, I was like, oh, I really love like this. I love Matt Smith. He's a great doctor. So yeah, but in character, like I would like him to be the doctor, not Matt Smith.
Very important distinction. It's like me and Jean-Luc Picard.
Yeah.
I love Jean-Luc Picard as the character. You know, I would have dinner with him.
You can have all of them. We're going to have a big dinner party and they can all come. Yeah,
This
I'd like
this
to meet Helen Hunt as well, but when she's in the character from Twisters.
I
Oh, I still haven't seen Twisters. I feel so upset about it.
it either. Oh, it's so good. I mean, and I love Twister because Twister is the film that got me into weather. So I was really apprehensive going to see the new one, but it was very, very good. I would highly recommend it. It was really good. That's another person. Yeah, I'd like to have for dinner. Ginger Z.
So cool, yeah.
Brilliant. I'd just sit and talk to her about the weather all the time. So yeah, she would be another person that we could have at our dinner. We're having just a big old party. I'm really looking forward to this. I feel like everyone's going to come. We're all going to have a great time. When are we having it? When's the date? That's what
Let's
I
send
want
the
to
invites
know. Let's get going. Let's get organizing. And the final question that we always ask everybody is, what's one thing that you wish everybody knew about writing a book?
I think it's just the amount of love that goes into it. And like hopefully the like if anyone buys my book, they'll be able to hold it and feel that, because I poured hours into that. And like the amount of research, and I think, I'm not saying there might not be a mistake in there, because I think that would be tempting fate, but as a like a journalist as well, I put in so much effort to make sure I checked every fact. I'm probably cursing myself now by admitting this, but I put in so much time to make sure everything was as accurate as it could have been, and told a story of, like, if it's a historical event, told a story of how it happened back then. And just weather history is so fascinating. And yeah, I just hope, yeah, people can feel the love of the weather through it.
Well, thank you so much, Zoe, for joining us on the podcast tonight. If anybody want to find you on social media, do you want to tell us where we can find you?
So I'm on all of the platforms. My username is Zoe J Weather.
If you haven't already got the book, you should definitely go and get the Weather Almanac Guide to 2025. It's a brilliant, brilliant book. It's beautiful, as I say, with the cover, so definitely go and check it out. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, review, and share the podcast. It really, really does mean a lot to us. It allows other people to find our podcast. If you want to follow us on Instagram, we are For the Love of Weather. On X, we are the number four Love of Weather. And we just hope that you leave this episode, Loving the Weather, just that little bit more.
Thanks for listening. Bye.